This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. This week, the Food and Drug Administration approved a drug that's been called the most significant development in psychiatric treatment in three decades. The medication is esketamine. It's derived from ketamine. That's an anesthetic that's also been abused as a club and party drug. Esketamine has been approved as treatment for major depression that has not responded to traditional antidepressants. Dr. Christina Kusin directs the ketamine program at Mass General Hospital. We asked her what this development means for mental health care.
It's a huge step to have the first molecule in 30-plus years, the first antidepressant approved that as a mechanism that is fundamentally different from what we have available now.
When you say it's a huge step for the industry, for patients.
For everybody, for patients, for clinicians. To have a new mechanism is like a new generation of cancer drug, for example, or new generation of antibiotics. It's a whole new class.
But this is not a first-line treatment for somebody who's just starting to be medicated for depression. Who is it intended for?
It will not be a first-line treatment. It's been developed for treatment resistance for patients who have failed drugs that are known to be safe and have been on the market for 30 years. So after patients have failed a certain number, I'm not sure what exactly the guidelines will be of antidepressants available on the market, this will be available to patients to try.
And it's administered as a nasal spray. That's what the FDA approved. But patients cannot take it on their own at home. Why does a doctor have to be present?
Because at the beginning, you never know how somebody's going to react to ketamine. There may be adverse reaction. There may be dissociation or anxiety. You never know how somebody is going to react. Probably over the years, the pattern of practice will change. The regulations will change. But the FDA, in the midst of the opiate crisis, wanted to make sure that patients were safe, that was used in an appropriate context, that there was no possibility of diversion or misuse of a substance that is potentially abusable.
Well, that's a good point that you mentioned there, misuse. If it is so easy to use, could patients who are particularly desperate be tempted to buy it illegally and use it at home outside the medical system? And I wonder if that kind of potential for abuse is concerning to you.
That is present in most of the drugs we use. It's present for benzodiazepines, is present for stimulants. I imagine Adderall is shared and misused among students, college students, and for opiates, for pain. But the same safeguard that are in place for opiates, that are in place for stimulants or for tranquilizers or sleep agents, should be applied to ketamine until we know exactly how this drug works and who is going to have an adverse reaction.
And what are the side effects, immediate and long-term?
Most of the side effects are during the time of the administration. We see very commonly some dizziness, drowsiness, feeling weird, feeling abnormal, some distortion in perception of sounds or colors, and maybe feeling anxious, feeling that things are not exactly the way they're supposed to be. And this usually goes away within an hour. We haven't noticed much in terms of long-term side effects, but because the drug is so new, there is a concern that there may be cognitive difficulties, there may be for long-term or cumulative use. There is a lot of unknown about the chronic use of very low doses of ketamine or esketamine over a long period of time.
When someone is administered esketamine or ketamine as a nasal spray, how often do they have to take it?
For esketamine, on average, once a week and then once every 2 weeks. For ketamine, it varies whether it's intranasal or intravenous. Intravenous seems to last longer. We're talking a few weeks, but it's much more expensive.
Until now, and when we talk about the cost, you know very well about the cost because your patients have either had to be in a study or pay out of pocket for ketamine.
Correct.
One infusion, $500, and most people take several infusions to start and then take it monthly after that. Will that kind of cost and that kind of procedure be a thing of the past now that a nasal spray is going to be available and covered by insurance?
I'm not sure because intravenous is much more potent and quicker, and it lasts a long time. Well, intranasal needs to be repeated, and it's going to be administered at the office. So the patient still has to travel to the doctor's office for an extended period. And if it's a weekly visit, you imagine being in an office, in a doctor's office for 2 hours every week, it may be really cumbersome. So it really depends on the cost out-of-pocket cost. We don't know what insurers are going to cover for the visit and what the patient copay is going to be. We're waiting to hear from the payers.
Dr. Kuzin, could you say how many of your patients percentage-wise have been helped by the drug?
The percentage is different depending on the level of severity and treatment resistance. The patients who come to our clinic are usually the most severe form. They've failed many treatments. They've failed all the available classes. They've failed electroconvulsive treatment. So for those patients, the response rate is lower than the average in patients who are not as treatment resistant.
But then this is considered a game changer in medicine. For what reason?
Because if you imagine you have no option, and all of a sudden you have a new drug and possibly you have an upcoming new class of drugs, and it works in a sustained fashion, that is a game changer.
Dr. Christina Kuzin directs the ketamine program at Massachusetts General Hospital. Thank you. Very nice to talk to you.
Thank you.